in general, we are impatient people. We've always been impatient. We're always trying to find ways to make things quicker. So I got a couple ways to help us understand how impatient we really are. Okay, let's see how this clicker works. So make every effort. Go here. So who remembers dial-up? Yes. Oh my, most of y'all do not remember dial-up. Dial-up was the worst. Like, I didn't play many video games, but there was this one computer game I played called Age of Empires. And, like, I'd be in a game, my mom would be like, get off. Someone's calling. No. And you got to go, right? So you guys are all used to cable and everything and all, you know, how fast it is. Y'all don't even understand dial-up, right? But we want it right here, right now. How about 5G to transform your life? 4G wasn't fast enough. We needed instant. So make sure you get your new phone that has 5G so that you can download that Instagram picture just a little bit faster, right? But we want it faster. We're impatient. What about this? My favorite, Starbucks mobile ordering. I'm sorry, I don't have time to wait in line and talk to anybody. I need to order my food and go in and get out as quick as possible so that I can get back on the road and wait in traffic and get to work late still. Okay, so I'm saying we're impatient people. You start breaking things down, you realize how impatient we really are. Okay, we got it. What? My Amazon shipping did not come in 2 days? I am so mad. I'm going to call Amazon and talk to them about this, right? We want our Amazon packages here in 2 days. They have same. You got to order over what, $35? Just depends on the item. Okay. Our Keurig machines. I want my coffee right now. Keep that water heated. I want to put that thing in there. Boop, it's there. We want it instant. Or if you're like me and you enjoy the finer things in life, you French press your coffee, which takes 4 minutes instead. What else we got? We got the microwave's been around for a long time, right? But the truth is, microwaves came about because we just couldn't wait. We needed our TV dinner right here, right now. My wife, like, quit us using a microwave. She just said it's slowly killing me. I was like, I'm dying anyways. Put it in the microwave. I want my food faster. You know, but that's kind of how it is. We want it fast. We're impatient. We don't want to wait for the food to cook the way it really should be. Same-day loans will kill you. The interest rate on same-day loans is astronomical. But the truth is like, I need this thing right here, right now. I don't have time to save up. Give me the money right now. And then we ultimately suffer in the end. Same-day loans will kill you. Never get one. Okay, the best one, tolls. But y'all know, if you don't drive, you've watched your parents do this. They're like, oh, which lane am I going to get on? Which one's the shortest? Or if you get gas at Costco, right? Gas at Costco. All of your parents lose their salvation at Costco. Because you're like, I'm going to find the shortest line. And then y'all all know they get in that one, and then it's the longest one, right? It's the truth. That's how it goes. Who? I was talking to somebody that said, what did they say? That they had a whole formula for gas at Costco. I'm like, this is sad. This is really sad. But, you know, or tolls, Costco gas, whatever, maybe. I'm just saying, it's true. We are impatient people. But what are we hurrying up for? I don't know. For the next thing, right? We're impatient. We have a hard time pushing through some of the harder things in life. And these are all kind of funny. But when we start to think about more this whole idea of patience and endurance and perseverance, I think we realize that when things get hard, we try to find the shortest route to get out of them. So I'm going to talk today, like, what would it look like to add perseverance and endurance and patience to our lives? And I think we're going to realize that the Bible has a lot to say about this idea of endurance as a Christian. So here's what I want you to do. At your table right now, I think I got the slide up there. I want you to just take a minute, talk about which of these or another is testing your patience in life right now. Okay? So at your table, discuss that. What's testing your patience right now in life? Take a minute to discuss that. I guess we're all struggling with this because I saw all of your tables talking. So we're in this Make Every Effort series. And today we're talking about this idea. There's a couple different words I'm going to use. Steadfastness is how the ESV, the English Standard Version, says it, but other versions say perseverance, endurance, patience, all kind of wrapped up in one. So this is the main verse. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. So talking about you've become a follower of Christ, you've got that faith. Then add to that virtue. That's a reality of like moral goodness. Like, okay, God has a moral standard for my life. I want to add that to my life. I want to start taking on that moral standard. And then it says, add to that virtue knowledge. Well, the knowledge is the knowledge that comes from God's word. We have to know how to live, how he wants us to live, what he wants us to believe. So we take that spiritual knowledge, and then from there, we're like, okay, well, now I know how God wants me to live. And Aaron talked last week about this idea of self-control, and he just gave the great illustration, bringing Riley and Sam up on stage, talking about these two, our flesh and our spirit, battling against each other. We got to practice self-control. Now, I think there's a progression that Peter has here. He's saying, now, take that faith, the virtue, the knowledge, the self-control, and add now steadfastness. Because the truth is, a lot of people, when we hit Christmas, and then we're going to go into the New Year's, what's going to happen? What's the number one goal everyone has? I want to lose weight, fitness. And here's what happens. They go, and they get a gym membership, and it lasts for maybe a month, and then it's over. Why? Because we can maybe work up the feeling for things that we want to do, the way we want to act, how we want to follow Christ. We can make goals, but to have the endurance and the steadfastness is where it gets really hard. And I think that's why Peter understands the human brain. I mean, he's really laying out the human brain of behavior here, and he's going, okay, now you need to add steadfastness to your life. But the truth is, and we're going to talk about today, having this steadfastness, this endurance, this perseverance, it really is making every effort towards it. It's making every effort towards going, I want to endure in this Christian faith in following you, Jesus. And I know there's going to be times where it's ups and downs, but God, I want to endure because I know your truth, and I'm going to make every effort towards that. So I've got some sheets here for you. The first blank is 2 Peter 1:6, just saying we're talking about perseverance, steadfastness. P is for perseverance. And here we go. So I'm going to take about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses, different little sections in the Bible that talk about this idea of perseverance and endurance. And I'm just going to break them down. And we're going to say, what does that look like? How do I apply this idea of making every effort towards perseverance in my life? So the first one is James 1:2-4, which says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So perseverance comes from the testing of our faith. Perseverance comes from the testing of our faith. So what could some of these tests be, these trials? Well, it could maybe be you working through some of the questions and doubts that you have about your faith, right? Like, instead of just being like, oh, well, I read something in the Bible, doesn't make complete sense to me, so I'm just leaving the faith. I'm just going to become a bystander. Instead, you're like, no, let me work through this. Let me persevere through this and figure out, what did God mean? If I know he took such care to make his word like this, how do I persevere and endure in it? Another one is dealing with temptation. You know, having temptation towards a sin is not a sin. It's giving into it. And so I have to endure under the temptation and go, man, I'm going to work through this. I'm going to fight through this with the help of Christ. But I'm going to make every effort. I'm going to do whatever it takes to endure past this temptation. You know, maybe the trial is none of your friends follow God, and it's only you, and you feel quite alone. Well, that's a trial that you're going to work through. But in that, God's going to test your faith. And in it, he's going to produce that steadfastness, that endurance, that perseverance in you. You know, maybe it's sickness around you for yourself, or maybe it's sickness, health issues in someone else around you close in your life. That's a trial to go through, that you're going to have to persevere through, to trust God through, when initially on the outside, it doesn't all look perfect. It's not exactly what we wanted. You know, it could be mental health issues. Someone, yourself, someone close to you. That's a trial. That God's saying, you're going to have to remain steadfast in this and trust me in this. It could be you being the only believer in your family. You know, whatever it is that God's going to walk you through, there's going to be trials. There's going to be hard things. It could be that your parents have marriage issues. A lot of different things. And God says, you know what? Yeah, these things are hard, but it's the testing of your faith. For you to believe, even when you can't see it immediately, that I'm still God, that I'm still good, that is going to produce a steadfastness, that perseverance in you, and it's going to help your faith to grow stronger. And really, I would say this is the difference between a secure and an insecure believer in Christ. An insecure believer of Christ is one that has faith, that has trusted Christ, but when the hard times come, when the trial comes, whether how big or how small, the insecure believer is like, God must not be good. He doesn't care about me. So I'm kind of just going to stay on the outside. And the person that says, you know what, God, I don't fully understand this, but Lord, I want to remain steadfast. I want to endure under this. I want to know your truth. I want to continue to pursue you, even in this trial. That believer becomes secure in their faith because when they make it through that trial, they realize God was with me. And we could go around to some of you students and a bunch of you leaders, and they could talk each of you through what's something that's happened in your life that was hard, but you remained close to the Lord. You didn't walk away, and you came out a lot stronger. I know that. At Shred the Gnar a couple weeks ago, we went through and we said, what is it that's helped you grow in your faith? Every leader said it was a trial in their life. It's true. It's how God works, and this is what he does. And this isn't new. Like, this is all throughout life. God uses a lot of things in your life to produce perseverance and character in you and this endurance in you. If you're on a football team, you know. If you're on any sports team, you know you're going to have to push through hard times. You have to push through practices that are hard, some games that you lose. You're going to have to build mental toughness. It can be in school, in your family. God uses these things to grow in you this idea of perseverance as you make it through. But, and I think, as I look around, the interesting thing is, I look at a lot of you, and I actually see that you have a serious amount of perseverance and endurance. But if I'm honest, it's in some things that don't really totally matter. And they're good things. They're good things. They're not bad things. But I want to encourage you today, what kind of spiritual endurance are you producing in your life today? What kind of spiritual endurance are you producing? And that only comes through the working out of our faith. So I'll give you a little example, not spiritually, but just in life. I'm always bringing examples from Liberty Grounds Crew. When I first started mowing there, okay, this is going to sound really stupid to you, but like there, you have to like hold these like triggers to make the mower go and turn left and right. And like I would get done with a day of mowing and like my entire arm would hurt. I'd walk around like this home. My wife would be like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I was mowing today. She's like, what? And so it took time. It was weeks and months of me continuing to do that, to use the mower, that eventually I was able to mow all day and it was no big deal. But I could have easily been like, man, I'm quitting this job. This is too hard. This is too physically hard. And there's a lot of things in life that when they get a little bit tough, it's really easy. I'm quitting. I'm done. I'm not doing anymore. And I think a lot of times that happens spiritually. A hard time comes, you're like, God, I'm just going to stand on the outside. I'm going to still come to church and do the church thing, but I'm going to kind of stand on the outside. And so what we can't see in the trials and the hard times is what's in the future. We can't see what God's doing with that, which can only come through the, but we can find joy in the midst of the trials. Why? This is what's weird when he says you'll find a joy. You can find a joy in the trials because you know God has a purpose. Take hold of that. You can find a joy in the trials because you know God has a purpose. James isn't saying here, be happy. Be so happy that you're in a trial. No, he's saying, find a joy that's found in Christ because you know in all of the difficult things in your life, God has a purpose and a reason for them. So that's really the first thing we've got to understand. If we're going to build spiritual endurance in our life, we've got to understand that God uses hard times in our life to grow us. He's not having hard times because he hates us, but because he loves us and he wants us to see that he's faithful and he's preparing us. He's producing steadfast in us so that we may be perfect and complete. So perseverance comes from the testing of our faith. And testing is not bad. We have to take tests all the time in school, in work. We take the test to understand, do we get the knowledge? Were we tested in what we have? And so in the same way, we're tested in our perseverance, and God wants to grow us. Okay, the next one is James 1, 21 through 23. It says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And then he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks out intently at his natural face in a mirror. So I bring this verse up because here's what I want you to understand about patience. Learning to have patience in the trials, learning to endure. Know this, and this is the blank. Perseverance and patience is active and not passive. Perseverance is active and not passive. Because here's what he says. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he's like. This is the rest of the verse. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed. It's interesting when it talks about be one who is a doer of the word. I started, I don't know, it's probably like a year ago, playing basketball on Monday nights. And when like the first night that I went and played, the next day I woke up and I could barely move. Like I literally was, my legs were dying. Then I went back the second week and played again. And I woke up the next day and the next day after that. And I was like still sore, but not as sore. And then I went back the third week and I died. No, I'm just kidding. The third week I went back and it was like I was good. And I kept on playing after that. And it was like slowly but surely I built energy. And the interesting thing was, it wasn't like, man, I had to devote myself and practice every day. It's like, okay, I'd play on Monday nights and then maybe throughout the week I would run a little bit. I would eat correctly. And then it wasn't too long. It's like, okay, I had built some endurance. I could go out there and I could run for an hour and a half and I wasn't huffing and puffing. I wasn't super sore. And it's being that doer, doing things consistently. You know, I'm going to say, you know what, Lord, I want to be a part of shepherd groups consistently because, God, I want to see you build some truth into my life. I'm going to endure through that. God, I want to take your truth and apply it to my life and read your word on a consistent basis, right? Like we could come to a Sunday morning and you could be in church for 4 hours and read all this scripture. You're going to just take a little bit from it. But if you say, I want to consistently, God, be a doer of your word, you're going to be taking bits and pieces every day, and God is growing that in you. And so you're actively following God's truth and not your feelings. Yes, living by God's ways are not easy, and they require you to actively obey. It's kind of like working out that self-control muscle that Aaron talked about. You're working it out. The cool thing is he says at the end, be a doer who acts, he will be blessed. In his doing. He will be blessed in his doing. Kind of interesting. Here's what Psalm 19, 7 through 9 says. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous all together. I think this psalmist lays out, man, if you take God's word and you're not passive in this whole thing of life, in this Christian faith, but instead you're like, I want to consistently pursue the Lord. It's so cool. It will revive your soul. It will make you wise. Your heart will rejoice. It will enlighten your eyes to truth, enduring forever. But see, what happens is some people get in and they're like, oh, summer camp was really good. I want to follow God. And then they get back to real life and there comes to some point where they got to have some discipline. You got to persevere a little bit through some things. And we give up, and I think when we give up, we miss what God has for us at the end. If we would take hold of it and say, Lord, I want to continue to follow through for you. I think God has some good truth for you. He wants to bless you in it, but he's like, yeah, I want you to remain faithful to me over the long haul and endure. And persevering to keep God's command, we can have a peace of mind, a clean, pure, guiltless conscience, and a witness to the world that is so much more eloquent than words. The people that you know that are witnesses to you in your life of their Christian faith, it's because they have endured through hard times and you've seen, wow, their faith really works. You students that are here, you look to these leaders, and I know one of the things you may or may not think, but I think you think it subconsciously is, you want to know, does this Christian thing really work? Does it really work? And it's these leaders in here that you guys have persevered under trials, and students have seen that. They see you over time remain faithful to the Lord. And they see that and they're like, man, that's the example that I want to be. So perseverance is not passive. I think we've come to believe, oh, when I'm patient, it just means I stand back and I don't do anything. No, James says the opposite. He says, if you want to persevere, be a doer of the word. It's not passive, but active. Here's what 1 Peter 1, 6-9 says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Awkward. Okay. So the truth is, we don't like trials. We don't like suffering. We don't like pain. We don't like patience. Yet this is exactly what God uses to grow our faith. They make us stronger. We grow closer to the Lord through them. It's like working out. If you don't know what happens when you work out, when you lift weights, you actually tear your muscles. That's what happens. You're literally ripping your muscles when you work out. But when you get proper sleep and proper food and recovery, your muscles grow back stronger. And that's like it is with our faith. When we go through trials, where things are hard, where we're stretched, where we're tested, God is, and we remain faithful, God is growing us. He's growing our spiritual faith to get us ready for what he has next, to see that he is faithful. Because God wants to use us, but he's like, make every effort to grow in this endurance and in this patience. It's those who stick something out for the long haul are the ones who make a difference. A lot of us start really good and we fizzle because it's easier to think it's just greener on the other side. You know, I see all my friends that don't seem like they care about their faith. They don't even have a faith. They seem to be doing fine. You know, they're good. And so we think this is probably greener on the other side. You're gonna get old. You guys are going to have jobs. You're going to always think, you know what, if I just got that next job, it'd just be greener on the other side. And I think instead the Lord says, no, I want you to remain faithful here. I want you to endure here. I want to grow you in this. I have a purpose for you in this trial, in this hard time, in working it out. Perseverance is the working out of the self-control that Aaron talked about. Continuing to have self-control, continuing to persevere. And I love that it's ultimately, he says, I'm going to go back. It says that the testing of your faith proves the genuineness of your faith, that yes, you believe the Lord, and ultimately it says that you may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, guys, our enduring isn't just to prepare us for the next thing. Our enduring is ultimately to bring glory to God. That's what your life does. When you remain faithful to the Lord, it brings glory to God for others to see. And you know, the persevering life, the person that perseveres over time, is a witness to others and a source of encouragement. And I can tell you, I can think of no one else that perseveres more than Bob Scholl. The man has been in youth ministry for a long time, and he is a perseverer, and he has impacted many lives. And I asked a few people in this room if they would be willing to share how Bob has impacted their lives. So if I ask you to share, if you can stand, that would be awesome. And Jen is going to come bring the mic to some of you guys, and they're going to share a word for Bob of how he's impacted their life.
Hello. Hey, I'm Dan Dodson. I want to give a shout out to the East Shepherd Group.
Woo!
So I've been in Gap now, I think this is my 6th year, started in 2014 on bike trip. I have a wife who serves in Gap. I've also had 2 girls that have gone through Gap, Anna who's 20, Sarah who is 18 now, and I have one in middle school, Rebecca, who's 11. What else did I want to say? So how did Bob, what am I grateful to Bob for? And there are 3 things. That I'd like to sort of share. I think first is just stepping aside, stepping out of industry, stepping out of the commercial world in order to work in youth ministry, creating an environment like this for people. I realized that he gave up a lot of money, put money aside in order to serve God here at RBC for I don't know how long. 2 is creating Gap. Creating a great Christian community. That's things like Sunday morning, Wednesdays, but that's also things like Bring It, girls night out, guys night out, mission trips, that sort of thing. Also, he mentioned it, first fruits, all the winter retreats, summer camps, and, of course, bike trip. The third thing is, I've learned a lot of truth from Bob and from this ministry. And the three things that I would focus on, it was a really good opportunity in order to get to answer this question, because it made me reflect on what I've learned over the past 5 or 6 years in this and through GAP. Number one is probably that people are at least as important as task. And I think Bob would get that, in that through First Fruits, he'd do training where he would put people on one side of the room and say, okay, if you're a task person, go on this side. If you're a people person, go on that side. And I was definitely a task person. And it made me think, okay, well, is there value in people over task? And so I've at least learned that. The second thing is the idea of grace beats truth. That is absolutely huge. He did the same thing with grace versus truth, and I was definitely on the truth side, and I think I'm more on the grace side now. So that's really cool. And then finally, the idea that helping is more important than competing. The idea that helping, there's more life in helping others and serving others than there is in competing in the world and just winning things. And I saw that on bike trip when Bob and Mark sort of put together a mountain for us to climb over the bike trip, and I just got this idea as I was about to hit the mountain. I'm like, I really want to go to the top of the mountain as fast as I can and beat all the kids. That would be great. And there was a voice in the back of my mind that was like, no, don't do that. You need to help others. And after that, I just got a lot of more encouragement. I'm certain of that for taking that than I would have if I had just sort of raced to the top. So thanks, Bob. You're great.
Hi, I'm Donna. I've had two sons go through the youth ministry, and now I've worked for Bob for over 7 years. What impressed me about Bob is when one of my sons, Jesse, when he was in high school, Bob showed up at his JV soccer game, and that just meant a lot to him and to me. And my son, Ryan, worked for the youth for a while, and he said that that Bob would work nonstop trying to change a student's lives just in the youth ministry and stuff. And my daughter-in-law, Amy, also went through the youth ministry, and she said that he would challenge them to go out of their comfort zone, and that it was a huge encouragement. And Amy was paired with Bob on several occasions to go out to share the gospel. And she said it wasn't easy talking to strangers, but she could always tell how passionate Bob was for them to come to know the Lord as Savior. And when my son Ryan was in high school, sometimes he would be paired up with Bob, and I would tease him sometimes, like, what did you do wrong? Why are you why does Bob need to hang out with you? But really, I was encouraged by it, because Bob was pursuing Ryan to be the best that he could be. And so he just pursues the Lord. As God pursues us, Bob pursues each one of you students and stuff. So don't just take it for granted. It really is a blessing.
Hi, I'm Sharon Mitchell. I've been a volunteer with GAP for about 8 years, more or less. And both my kids, who are here today, went through GAP. Jake is 26. He just got married. Katie's 23. And both of them were directly impacted by Bob. And I asked them, of course, and I have notes, or else I'll talk for half an hour, because Bob is the personification of persistence. But Bob spoke into Jake's life about relationships, and Jake took that on. You know, sometimes your parents, you don't want to listen to your parents, but you'll listen to somebody else, words of wisdom. And ever if you have the opportunity to listen to Bob, I highly recommend it, because he has great words of wisdom. But Jake, having just gotten married, I asked, so was his advice, did it apply, and do you see it as a blessing in your life? And he says, absolutely. It was a huge blessing that I pursued. Bob also interacted with Katie. Caitlin was living in the flesh, and Bob walked up alongside her and said, look, let's go through this. Tell me what's going on. And what impacted Katie is that he listened. He didn't judge her. He didn't condemn her. He said, okay, how can we go forward? What can we do? And he offered words of wisdom. So just direct impact in the lives of students. Bob also has, I've been on missions with him twice, and I have never met anyone who is so constantly working to figure out how to impact you, the students that we're on mission with, the leaders. Like Dan said, I've learned an immense amount just sitting in GAP every week, more or less, for about 8 years. And just the foundational information that he provides, that he insists on bringing to you. He's always looking for new ways to bring the information to you so that you can hear it in a different way. And just that persistence is just really an amazing, he's an amazing testament to the love of God. And the last thing I want to say is that Bob walks the walk. He doesn't ever preach anything that he has not already done, is willing to do. You don't ever have to listen to Bob. You can watch his life and see that he walks out his faith persistently. And that is just an incredible testament. So I think I've used my 2 minutes.
Okay, hi, Mrs. Johnstone. And I actually have to go back about 30 years, if I'm really going to be honest about how much Bob has affected my life, as well as my extended family's life. So I guess if Lee is correct, Bob would have been about 5 years old when he started ministry in the 90s. So my youngest sister, Hope, graduated from South Lakes High in 1991. And when she started coming to GAP on her own with some friends, Bob was already in the early years of ministry. And so Hope told me the story about going on the bike trip and bringing some friends. And then she lost her bikini top at the beach. And I think Bob, she said Bob was horrified, but I don't think Bob remembers this. I think he just blocked it out of his memory as trauma, and he perseveres to this day in spite of those early years of difficulties. But the funny thing was she ended up becoming a missionary to Croatia, and she actually went with the Padronis there, and then she ended up being a missionary in Indonesia, and she's still serving the Lord. So that was, 30 years ago. So fast forward to year 2009, 18 years. So my immediate family moved to this area, and my son had just finished his freshman year, and we had lived overseas for 15 years. So you can imagine how difficult it was for him. And Bob took Josh under his wings, just like he did with all of these students here. Majority of them, like Caitlin and Amy and Ryan, they were all about the same grade. And Bob just took him under his wing, discipled him through shepherd group, shredding the gnar. Like Ryan, Josh also worked for Bob as an intern for 1 year, and that had a significant spiritual impact on Joshua's life. And I think one of the sweetest fruit of Bob's long ministry is that Bob officiated Joshua's wedding to his GAF friend Taylor, who he met at the summer camp, his first summer camp in 2009. So there are some sweet fruits for ministry like that, Bob, right? So, and I know he continues to persevere. So that's almost 3 decades. And there are, my family members are in this room, extended family of nephews and nieces that he still ministers to, which is great. And not only that, he ministers to Mark and I. He mentors, teaches, and encourages us in our ministry not to give up. And so that's really significant for me as well. And I'm not going to say that every student that comes through GAP goes on to live for Christ and continues in their faith, right? But I don't think Bob is looking at that, those so-called success stories, as his goal. And I'm pretty confident that he is doing it out of obedience to Christ, and that's what keeps him going. He is not looking for man's praises. He's looking to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So I want you to know, Bob, well done, good and faithful servant, from me. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Lisa Schull. I'm Bob's wife of 35 years. I'm not going to be talking so much about what Bob has done, but more like why and how he does it, and to encourage you that you too can be persevering as teenagers in high school and persevering down the road as you hit different times in your life through college, career, family. The first thing that comes to my mind for Bob is that he has a yielded spirit and that he seeks first the kingdom of God. And when he's seeking the kingdom of God, God has added abundantly to him through ministry, through family, through blessings. For that, if you want to seek God's blessings, you have to be yielded to him. I also believe that God put a special calling on Bob many years ago when he came to know the Lord as his Savior when he was a teenager. And with that calling, he's taken delight in the Lord. And with that delight, God has given him the desire and the passion to keep doing youth ministry. I also know Bob lives for eternal purpose and perspective for the souls of all you teenagers through all these years that he's done it. Nothing gives him greater joy to know that one of you has come to know Christ as your personal Savior and that you keep walking with him and building your relationship with him. God has given him a passion for this ministry. It's not something that he has to do, but it's something he loves to do. And he feels most fulfilled in that. And you, when you feel and sense God's calling on your life, you too will feel fulfilled when you are doing what God has called you to do, how he can use your best with your gifts and talents for him. You will find freedom and peace when you choose to desire the things that God desires for you. And then I think also just the vision that he has. Bob is very much a visionary, and it hasn't died yet all these years. And with that vision, I see him purposefully and intentionally always thinking, what's better? What's best? How can I do this better? And changing things up if it's not working, but also pursuing what can be done in an excellent way for the glory of God and for the kingdom of God. And I think also just encouragement that he has seen God work through the years and has been able to count that and glorify God for that.
One more quick thought for you. I still remember this like it was yesterday. When I was about 17, 18, I was hanging out with Bob one day, and we drove back to his house. We were trying to pick something up from his house. And so, obviously, his kids were much younger at that time. And we get to his house, and it, you know, it's much littler Dan and company and Josh all come running to the door, and they're like, "Tackle Bob." And they're just so excited to see him. And I remember thinking that day, man, I want to be like Bob. You know, to this day, that same sentiment is true. As you're talking about perseverance today, just as I was reflecting on a bunch of things over the last couple of weeks, the ability to persevere through a lot of what Bob has persevered through is just really insane. And I would love that same thing to be true in my life. The perseverance that he's had, And the influence that he's had on so many people, I would love to be able to, when I turn 60, to be able to say the same things are true about me that are true about Bob. You guys are really blessed. Bob, you just have so richly blessed my life and so many other people's lives. And I just, you mean the world to me, Bob. Thanks.
All right. Sorry. Well, I know we're running late. Bob only turned 60 one time, so just bear with us. Laney and Bobby got a video.
Hiking up here in Southwest Virginia, and we just wanted to chime in. We're sorry we couldn't be there today. But thinking about perseverance and Bob's birthday, first of all, happy birthday, Bob. We love you. Sorry we couldn't be there. But we did want to say we appreciate you. Just went to a lousy Hokies game last night, but they were honoring Frank Beamer. And I think about you, Bob, as the Frank Beamer in youth ministry. The guy who persevered, and he's like the second winningest coach, and you're a legend already. So we're grateful for you, Bob. And just a specific, maybe one of the specific ways we've seen you persevere is just believing that this group of teens can do amazing things. And just if they're willing to step out and trust you, and trust the Lord, that that God can use them to change really this world. So you have really stayed on that task and focusing and believing, and it's really admirable and definitely an example of perseverance. Appreciate you, Bob.
Yeah, I appreciate you too, Bob. We love you. And when I think about your persevering spirit, I think of two things. I think of persevering passion. Just the Holy Spirit has given you amazing passion for these teens and for ministry, serving the Lord, and it's persevering is definitely the way you've done it. You keep your eye on the prize. And then I also think you've persevered through trials, because in ministry, when you serve others, there's naturally trials that come along, and instead of letting that get you down or slow down or stop, you just persevered through it, and you realize that trials are part of life. Trials are part of what we have here on earth until heaven. And there's sometimes people come against you, or they aren't supportive, or whatever it might be, sickness, whatever it is. I just have watched you persevere, so we love you. Here comes some kids.
Happy birthday!
Bye, love you.
Okay, this is where I'm going to end right here. I want to read this though, because I think there's no better way to end this message on perseverance. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for who the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is my question to you. Are you in the race? Are you in it? You can't have endurance if you're not in the race. I'm going to encourage you today, wherever you are, whether you're a bystander, whether you're just running slow, that's cool. Jump in the race and start following Christ and build that endurance. And it'll be cool. I think Bob would say the same thing. He would want to see you be in the race, running it, so that you can build endurance. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for this day that we could come and learn from your truth and your word about patience and endurance. And God, I pray that today we are encouraged by the life of Bob to see that it is Christ in him, that he was transformed by Christ, and that's what gives him endurance to continue in this. And that, Lord, we would take that and fix our eyes on Jesus, who would give us the truth and the grace and the strength to live out this endurance. In Jesus' name, amen.